Dark Smile Productions presents Half Known Roads by Richard Delafield, starring Mike Clark, Rachel Clark, Aaron Kelly, Sue Smith, and Richard Delafield.
The train ride home's the best, passing city by city, towns you don't know, places you don't remember. And you find yourself in Piccadilly, Oxford Road, Deansgate, the Crescent. You know your home. Landmarks you remember, your landmarks. The old school, the bus shelter you first tasted 2020, the car park you first, well, you get the idea. There's no place like home and all that. I got off the train, only 15 minutes late. Look round. Quite easy to forget how green Salford is. Sure, it's not the lakes, but we have our moments, hidden there amongst the traffic cones and shopping trolleys. You know what? I've really missed this place. Thought I'd never say that. Spent half a lifetime trying to get away, and now I never want to leave again. My hometown, man. How can you beat that? Look at it now. Clean, glistening, alive, and flowers. Flowers everywhere. Not that I like flowers. I'm too much of a man for that, but they're better than concrete. Better than where I've been. Heard someone once say there wasn't much of a difference between Salford and Basra. Trust me, they don't have a clue. Sand gets everywhere. In your clothes, your ears, your hair, even in your gun. It's rough and coarse, like me. And the heat. Oh, you wouldn't believe how hot it gets. Sweating out of pores I didn't even know existed. Nah, Salford isn't like Basra. What's a few joyriders to a bunch of car bombers? I remember seeing this old woman, half buried in the sand. Her body all burnt, crisp, twisted. How can you not let that affect you? You have to try, but you can't. These things I've seen with my own two eyes, nobody should ever have to see. Then again, maybe everybody should. Just so it gives everything you'll ever see again perspective.
Daniel was never the easiest child to raise. He's always been so hyperactive, a real adventurer. If there was trouble, you know he'd find it. All electrics had to be above crawl level, all plug sockets covered. He was that type of baby.
Never changed much then.
Almost every day he'd come home with a bloody nose from some boy 2 years older he'd picked a fight with. Not that he was ever bullied. In fact, I think it was the other way round. He just never knew his place, that's all. Oh, he was sweet enough. He always used to pull that butter wouldn't melt look.
Yeah, I know that look.
And you could never get angry at him, even though he put me and his dad through hell. Like the time he decided to run away from home. He was 11 years old, and because we couldn't afford to get him the bike he wanted for his birthday, he decided he was going to run off to Cheshire to find himself some rich parents. He left a note and everything. Took his favourite toys and some tins of food and set off.
So that's where his obsession with moving to Cheshire came from.
We were dead worried about him. We looked for him everywhere. Thought he might have just been playing one of his games. Anyway, he'd been gone all day and I was at the end of my nerves. And the police weren't much help, what with it being under 24 hours and all. Mm. And then the phone rings. It's only the guard at Knutsford train station. They caught him fare dodging. I could have wrung his bloody neck. But you know what we did instead?
What?
We bought him that bike. Ray had to sell his new lawnmower and we had to go without for a bit, but we got him that bike.
I was a tearaway when I was a kid. I remember when I got this bike for my birthday. Even got myself a paper round. Early Salford mornings pray for the practical joker. Everyone's so half asleep you can get away with murder. Knock-a-door run's a beginner's game, and only fun if they chase you. Nah, we used to be more ambitious than that. You ever seen the look on someone's face when you've swapped their washing line with their neighbours? Or when they open their door in the morning to find every garden gnome in the street looking at them on the doorstep? Priceless. They were kids' games, and I, like everyone else round here, was growing up fast. Harmless pranks no longer seemed like fun. Started to hang around with some bad people. We'd go out, get drunk, and smash stuff up because it was there to be smashed. It was like we had no reason, but that was the reason. So we'd get noticed, feel like we could change stuff, making our own world in shattered glass and burnt out cars. I dread to think what I would have ended up like if I'd carried on like that. Nah, I've seen what I would have ended up like. You know the type. Father to many, dad to none. Never happy, always on the take. Nah, I'm glad I got out. I owe it all to Mike and Paul. Two friends I really don't deserve. I owe them a lot. Most of all for introducing me to Rachel. Rachel's the type of girl you spend a lifetime waiting for. And then when you find her, she turns your life upside down. She despised me. Everything I did. Everything I stood for. Not the best terms for a budding romance. But then again, I hated me too, so at least we had something in common. I met her and I just wanted to better myself. Be who I could be and all that. I guess that's why I joined the army. All my life I've wanted to make a difference. Change the world in my own way. Of course everyone thought I was mad. But since when did I care what everyone else thought? So I signed up. Worked my butt off and got in.
Remember that night we all went from work and then Dan turned up late?
As usual. Yeah, I don't remember. And he was all flushed from whatever dodge he'd been pulling. Started buying drinks left, right and centre. He always likes to flash the cash when he had it.
Then he clapped his eyes on Rachel.
The lovely Rachel.
Rachel the rude. So our boy's jaw hit the floor. He was mesmerised and she, well, she wouldn't let him buy her a drink.
Always a girl with principles was Rachel. But I told you then, and you know I'm right now, she was interested.
Oh, come on. The Dan she fell for is far distant from the Dan she first met. Remember seeing him in the toilets, trying to scrub up to impress her?
Not the easiest thing to do in the days before toilet attendance.
The look on his face when we caught him trying to wash his hair with a bar of soap.
Priceless.
He was a scumbag back in those days, weren't he?
Not the worst. But he was our mate. Just fell in with the wrong crowd, that's all. He could still come to us for anything.
Still owes me 50 quid. Danny in the army. The mind boggles.
Did him good, though. Remember when he came in here after training? On time and all. I was amazed how tall he was. Always used to him skulking around, looking shifty. But when he walked, like he'd already won 1,000 battles, looking like eagle-eyed action man. Might seem crap, but I was proud of him that day. I mean, it was amazing how he'd managed to straighten himself out. He was like Dan, but less of a madhead. Focused, even. Aye. The army did him good.
Not in the end, though.
Yeah. Think he'll be on time today?
Bit ironic if he wasn't.
War's harsh. You do know that, don't you? How can people kill people? It's not even murder. Nothing thought over or an act of rage. It's clean. Justified. I'm on this side, you're on that side, and I'm gonna kill you. We're on street patrol in Basra when it happened. You have to be alert out there. Waiting. Waiting for their chance to even some of the score. So we were on patrol, and they open up. No warning. Automatic weapons fire from all angles. Sarge radios in for backup, but we can't keep waiting. Sooner or later, they're going to get lucky. So we fire back at the muzzle flashes, moving from building to building, from cover to cover, just like we were trained for. Like we were made for. We take one of them out. Now the others know we're onto them. Only makes them more determined. Do or die, a sacrifice for the cause. Then I see him, the boy. He must be about 6 years old. Stood out in the open, frozen, tears in his eyes. His mother reaching out from a doorway on the other side of the street. In a second he'll get hit. I know he will. That's what crossfire's for. I look around. My back's not covered. But I can't wait. I can't let the boy die. So I run. I go for it. I swoop the boy up in my arms. First one hits my flak jacket. It's not the proper deal. Two bits held on with scotch tape. Impact rips one of them loose and knocks me for a stagger. But it doesn't stop me. Bullet hits my leg. No body armour this time. I nearly fall, but the adrenaline keeps me going. The squad have seen me now. They've started to lay down cover. Me and the boy running through the crossfire. I take another bullet, but I've made it. I give the woman a child, and he's alive. The boy passes from my arms to hers, and she grabs him like she'll never let go again. Then I fall. In the desert. In the sand. A far foreign place from Salford. I think back to that place. I look up and see the mother and boy wet with tears. Wet with my blood, and I close my eyes.
Wasn't the army's fault. It was the Iraqis.
Yeah, but who put him there in the first place, eh? Dan just wanted to do something good, make a difference. You weren't bright, but you had an heart on him like nothing else. And they used that. They told him lies and sent him out there to kill mother's sons he didn't even know. And now he's no more use. They just send him home and forget about him.
It's what he wanted.
You what?
Well, you know, before he went out, he was always talking about making a difference and that.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, that makes up for it, doesn't it?
It's about freedom.
Yeah, right. You believe in the Tooth Fairy and all? Sorry, mate.
Oh, forget it.
What time is it?
Oh, he'll be here soon. We should go. What are you going to say, anyways?
Dunno.
Still brave. What he did.
Yeah, was.
To Danny.
Danny.
I keep thinking he's going to come back through that door. That cheeky grin on his face, like this has all been one of his jokes. That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. He's gone.
I know, love, I know. It's the same for me. I think of all the scares and all the false alarms he gave us and I just keep thinking, come on, Daniel, do it again. I know they'd have torn strips off you for it, but do it again. Just one more time, my baby.
And mine. He's never going to know his dad. I don't even have lots of photos. We never found the time to. Said he was camera shy. Three photos, a park bench and a swollen belly. All I've got left. And when this baby comes, I'll have to tell him how brave his father was and how he died a hero. Because I can't bear to tell him anything else otherwise. He was a hero. He was our hero.
Come on, love. I have to get to the church.
Used to say he'd be late for his own funeral. Doesn't seem funny now.
Just be glad he's finally home. Finally.
Do I have any regrets? Yeah, sure. I'll miss not being able to raise my boy. I'll miss the woman I love. The place I call home. But do I regret what happened? No. Short answer, but the truth. I play it all back in my head. There was no other way. Think I could raise a child if I'd let another one die? No chance. I'll always look over them. My friends, my family, my boy, all of them. I wish I could tell them just how sweet it is. All the things you take for granted. A kiss. The sun on your face. A pint with the lads. Pushing a kid on the swings. Give me back teeth to do any of those now. War. War's never good, no matter what the reasons. My mates are still out there, you know. Risking it all. And so I've got to believe it was for something worthwhile, haven't I? I died making a difference, right? 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 If they want to remember me, they can come here. This bench. That's my bench. Gonna put my name on it and everything. Little plaque with my name. Everyone can come here. School kids, winos, skateboarders and pensioners. Gotta go. Get to the church on time. Just promise me this. You sit here on this bench and you look round once in a while and realise how good life is.